Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Romans 11, verses 25 through 36. The Reverend Doug Gribenaw is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Epistle to the Romans in chapter 11, beginning at verse 25. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gift and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient, in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is one of those sections in Paul's writings where his rhetoric really shines through. Unfortunately, I'm not one who was gifted with such rhetoric. And I struggle sometimes to wrestle with the way in which he weaves and presents these ideas. In many ways, when I come to Holy Scripture, I feel a lot like when I was sitting in my first class in seminary. You feel like an imposter. You're supposed to be a guy who wants to be a pastor. You're supposed to have all this pre-sem training. I was a second career fellow. I had just muscled my way through the first and only foreign language that I ever had any success with, and it was Greek. And I hated every minute of it. But I kept my mouth shut, and I nodded along. Yes, yes, this makes perfect sense, Professor. Yes, yes, I totally agree. And I read through St. Paul, and I feel like I'm doing the same thing. Yes, Paul, that makes great sense. And at the end of it, I go, what did he say? It happens a lot with Scripture. But the wonderful thing is that these are the times that we're given to wrestle. Wrestle with God himself. And even though it's difficult and it may carry on all night and end up with a little sore in the side, it's all for your good. And it's a wonderful mystery. But the key, as St. Paul himself discovered, to understanding all of Scripture, is to look to him. Paul had to get knocked off his high horse, quite literally, to understand the mystery that had been staring him in the face throughout the Old Testament. And then with such love, he brings that mystery to us. And of course, Paul knows what it is like to be a a Pharisee like you and I, to think quite highly of your own thoughts, of your own mental machinations, lest you be wise in your own sight. I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery. But what it comes down to is that Jesus loves you. God the Father loves you. God the Holy Spirit loves you. And has done everything to win you from darkness, from sin, from death, from the power of the devil, from your own sinful flesh. He has done it all for you to make you one with him. He alludes to this a little bit in this large section here in Romans, chapters 9, 10, and 11, going through first to say that the adoption, right? In chapter 9, the people of Israel, beloved by God, chosen by God to be his people, he shall be their God, chosen with what end in mind? Well, he gets to that when he talks about the Israelites. In chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, he says, they are Israelites. To them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, the greats of our faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. Yes, it is a great and a wonderful honor that God chose the Hebrews to be his people. In the same way, lest they become puffed up in their own thinking, he could equally warn them as well. Do not misunderstand this mystery, these blessings of God. This favor of God that he has shown to you was to serve that purpose that he promised before we ever had these divisions. Jew and Gentile, the Israelites, and everyone else. That promise he made to Adam and Eve, that the one born of woman would crush the serpent's head, to suffer and die in our stead, to do it all for you, no matter where you have come from. Because indeed, any man or woman born of a human mother suffers in the same condition, be you Jew or Gentile, be you a white man, a black man, an Asian man, an Indian man, an African man, well, from any man, stained with original sin, that corruption, that rejection of God and his law that is inbred and a part of us. We are born into slavery to our fleshly desires, to sin, born dead spiritually. It's the condition of everyone. And that was why God promised his son. And his son came through these people, to whom belong the adoption, to be restored as children of God. The glory, the covenants, the giving of the law that shows us our sins so that we look to the Savior. The worship, the promises, the family of God. Chapter 10, Paul then moves on to remind us that salvation is indeed for all, not just for this chosen few, not just for the ones he likes and everyone else. Go away. No, he loves everyone. And he has chosen to save us through his people. Blessed, as you remember, to be a blessing for all. Abraham, father of all by faith. believer. He believed the promises of God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Not a work that he'd done, but a gift that God had given. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, Paul tells us in chapter 10. And so in chapter 11, then we get to this. Lest you wild branches, you Greeks, anyone who was not an Israelite, lest you feel somehow puffed up that these people fell away and you're going to come in and be at a better branch than anyone. Be not puffed up, for it is never your doing. It has always been God's grace. For all men fall and disobey. It is the cycle of our existence. Man disobeys, he falls under God's wrath. God extends his mercy lest man should be destroyed forever. As Adam and Eve ate of that one tree, our Lord walked in the garden, "Where are you, man?" As if he didn't know, but wanting man to see, "Where have you gone? You have fallen. You have disobeyed. And lest man eternally be condemned, God in his mercy kicks us out of the garden. We should not eat of the fruit of the tree of life, that we should live forever in the fallen estate, but that he should deliver us through his mercy. By God's grace, man is called back by Christ, the forgiveness in him. And yet this side of glory, we remain so vulnerable to that old Adam within. Paul's famous to speak of that race that we run. In the same way, then, he concludes with that wonderfully sort of dark phrase. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. It sounds like something so wicked. He consigns us to disobedience. No, he permits us to be where we are so that he may redeem, so that he may forgive, so that he may bring us out of death and into life. I took us back to the garden because this is really where I see this so beautifully explained. Adam and Eve have betrayed God. They've eaten of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. They have fallen. They're sinners. And it seems so cruel that God would kick them out of the house. Get out of here. Never come back. That may be what they felt like. He's consigned us to disobedience. He's left us to falter on our own, to struggle. How mean. But we remember the tree. Lest they should eat of that tree of life and forever live under sin, struggle, and sadness. He kicks them out so that he may have mercy on all, that he may bring the true tree of life through his chosen people Israel. To be lifted on this tree, where our sins, where our death dies, and he may rise again, the vine to which all branches may cling, to be nourished in righteousness, upheld with the worship, with the promises, nourished and upheld by that word. And the Word made flesh. So no matter what branch we are, a natural branch, a wild branch, it is not about us in the sense that it's not about our doing. But as our hymn so beautifully says, it is about us. Because for us, for you, for me, for all people, Christ has done all things. And extends by the gospel that love of God. Come to me, all who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Give to me your sin. Give to me your death. And I shall make you new. Child of God, an heir of the promise. Member and inheritor of the household of God. For God has consigned all to disobedience. And thanks be to God that he may have mercy on all. For from him and through him and to him are all things, even you and me. And to him be glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.